Romans chapter 12. The scriptures are from 9 through 13, and that's where we're going to be at. So keep your finger there, because we're going to start somewhere else, just like the pastor does. I've learned that from him. So the title of our study is Sincere Love. Something we need to know is that love is controlled by God's standards. If you'll turn to Romans 5:5, we read this: "And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our heart through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." So that's why we can say that love is controlled by God's standards. You might want to write this down. In fact, my wife, if you don't have a piece of paper, I brought extra piece of paper. We're actually going to write these things down and kind of do a self-examination as we go through these. It's kind of like what David taught on Sunday about a mirror, how we see ourselves through the Word of God. So you might want to write this down. Love is the proof of our character. I know our study is going to start in Romans 12, but let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 6 here, and we're going to see something about Paul, about his character and his integrity. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. Would someone read that, please? So we see Paul's character, and we see his integrity here. Did you notice verse 6? It says, "In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love," or your said sincere love. And that's what we're going to talk about, sincere love. So if you'll go ahead and go back to Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 9. You guys remember what participles are? I had to look it up. I had forgotten about it. Do you remember what participles? Okay, it's... it's a verb phrase, like seeing is believing. Okay, that's the way the Lord's going to teach us. There's 12 participles in this text that we're going to look at, and that's the way the Lord is going to teach us tonight in these things. Now, the topic is love, sincere love. So as we go through that, I'd like for you to write those down, and like I said, do a self-examination of yourself, and just see. I know I did it, and I found some shortcomings in my own life where I need to be. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard. That's what I'm reading from. And in verse 9, my Bible says, "Let love be without hypocrisy," starting out. Now, and the opposite of hypocrisy, of course, is genuine and sincere, which is probably what your translations say, some of you, okay? Now, God is very, our Heavenly Father is very, very serious about this, about love. That's why He needs to control it. I mean, He is so serious. Look what it says in 1 John 4:20. There I'm at. That's where I'm at. Okay. My Bible says that let love be without hypocrisy. So you would write it down. Love is without hypocrisy. So look what the Lord says in 1 John 4:20. If you'll turn over there, please. A lot of you remember this. 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So that's what I'm saying. Our Heavenly Father is very, very serious about being a sincere love or genuine love. Okay? So let's go to the next one here. My Bible says, "Abhor what is evil." In Proverbs 6:16 through 19, there are 7 things that God hates. So if we'll turn over there and let's read those. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Yeah, so these 7 things our Heavenly Father hates, and we should hate those same things. Now, we know in the book of Jude that Jude writes about those that are in our church that are fault finders is one way that Jude writes it down. They actually are finding fault with everybody else. So we know that takes place in our own church. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. And someone please read that too. Abstain from every form of evil. So there are two evils that are spoken of here. Do you know what they are? What we just read? What are they? What are the two evils spoken of right here? Look at verse 19 and 20. Yeah. Two evils that are spoken of are quenching the spirit and despising prophetic utterance. In other words, the reading of God's word. So those two evils do take place. So let's go to the next one, the next part of simple that the Lord teaches. The next part of it is cling to what is good. So love clings to good. The other one would be love abhors evil. Okay? So love clings to good. There's only, and who is good? Who is good? God. He's the only one. Even Jesus, his own son, said that. Why do you call me good? There's only one who is good, and that's my Heavenly Father. And that is God. Remember, Jesus also told us that he never did anything from his own initiative, but he only did those things that he saw his Heavenly Father doing. Do you remember that? So that tells me that we should be able to see what our Heavenly Father is doing around us at all the time. And and when we do see that, we can actually join in with him and become part of that with him. In love, of course, in love. So let's go on to verse 10. We see, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So love is devoted to one another. In Matthew 7. Verse 12, let me get over there and I'll read that to you. Verse 12, Matthew 7, verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Okay? So if you want friends, you got to be a friend. If you anything that you need in your life, you're the first one that has to give that. And it has to be done with love from a sincere heart and from a genuine heart. So don't hold back. Keep your love strong for one another. It's very, very important. And then we read, it says, love gives preference to one another in honor. So we are to honor one another. In Mark 2, 1 through 5, you guys remember this. This is one of my favorite verses. This is Jesus at home. Do you ever think Jesus was a homeowner? Every time I read this, that always pops in my head. Was Jesus a homeowner? Wow. Are you there? Verse 1, when he had come back to Capernaum several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening and let down the pallet on which the paralytic was laying, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." I mean, that is so powerful that his friends loved him that much. That they wanted to see him well, and they would do anything to get him well, even removing the Lord's roof from his own house. I mean, you got to get the picture of this. Even there were so many people there. Even his Jesus's mother and his brothers could not even get to the front door. They had to send somebody in there and to let Jesus know that they were out there. If you read the rest of this, it's pretty good. But you see their love for their brother, for their friend. So love honors. Love is very honoring one another. And we are to set the example as being lovers of God. We are to set the example in this area in honoring one another. So don't ever hold that back. If you get an opportunity to honor a brother or sister, in any way, shape, or form, do it. Don't hold it back. That's why I said in the beginning that the Lord is in control of our love. And you say, you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, I remember one time I was out in my shed, and I distinctly heard the voice of the Lord say, go call some so-and-so. And I didn't. And I put it off, and guess what happened? Forgot. And I found out later that my brother that I was supposed to call was pretty down. And I kicked myself for not doing it. You know, you may have been the recipient, or you may have one who has said this very same thing. I was going to call you yesterday. Have you ever heard that said to you? Or you many of you have probably said that. I know I have. Whenever you hear the Lord tell you to do something, go do it immediately. Don't put it off, because it's you're blessing someone. They needed it at that particular time. It wasn't later when you said, "Oh, I was going to call you." They didn't need it then. They needed it right then and there at that time when the Lord said to go call them. So let's don't hold back our honor on each other, for each other, our love also for each other. So love honors. It gives preference to one another. It honors one another. And we are to set the example in that. Look at Philippians 2. Go ahead and turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Will someone read verses 3 and 4? So there we go. This is another example of genuine and sincere love. Okay? So, you know, we know that we're important. We do. I'm an important person. God didn't make no junk. I'm standing before you as God's child. I'm not a junky thing. Yeah. But he didn't make no junk. He knew exactly what he's doing when he made each and every one of us, when he created us. So, and that's the reason we're sitting here right now listening to this, so we can know that we do nothing, absolutely nothing, from empty conceit. None. So we're not junky. We're not junky at all. So we look out for one another, for our interests. I know Bill has done it for me. He wouldn't let me lift something heavy when my back was hurting pretty good. So, so I appreciate that. What's that? Yeah. No lefty push it. So we need to set the example as our Lord Jesus Christ did, the very same example. So let's go to verse 11, back to Romans 12. And my text says, not lagging behind in diligence. Love does not lag behind, okay, in diligence. So this is telling, what this means is that we're supposed to remain zealous in love for one another. Look for opportunities for one another to lift each other up, to pray for one another, to be a friend to one another, to take care of each other when it's time for it. So this is what this means. And we were in Philippians 2. If you go back over there, and you can read verses 19 through 22. So we're to remain zealous. Now this is about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Okay. You can see Paul's zealous love for the Philippians. 19-22. Paul writes, are you everybody there? Okay. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests and not those of Christ. So here's Paul's zealous love for the Philippians. He wanted to be there, but he just couldn't get there at that time. So he's going to send Timothy. And Timothy's concern was the welfare of the Philippian church, okay, which was Paul's heart also, and Epaphroditus also. Even though Epaphroditus got sick, he was the one that brought the tithe from the Philippian church back to Paul, the help that Paul needed in times of need. And Epaphroditus and Paul also both got real deathly sick. And they don't, you know, there's no reason, but there's no explanation why they were sick. I always call it as the Asian flu, so that's my take of it. But anyway, so anyway, we see Paul's genuine love here, his zealous love. Now the next part of that says, love is fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And this means love is boiling. I mean, when you're in service with the Lord, you are so deeply in love that your heart is constantly boiling for the Father, to be with Him, to do things as He has done, to live this way, the way He is taught it, teaching us right now. So this means about being fervent. Okay, it means your love is always boiling. Okay, always. It never dies out. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, we read this. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one has done, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So don't get tired of doing things in love, okay? Don't get tired of doing good things for one another. Always keep your love very fervent, very hot for one another all the time. It's very important. You know, our men's breakfast is based on this part of being fervent. It's found in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Someone read that, please. So this is what we try and do at our men's breakfast, is to encourage one another to good works. We have a little thing that we've started here not too long ago about a spur. We pass a spur around, okay, and whoever has that spur will bring the devotion the next time we meet together. And that's what this is in verse 24. It says, let us consider how to stimulate one another. And that's also, stimulation is also can mean spur, how to spur one another into love. And that's what our men's breakfast is founded on. All right, back to our text. In verse 12, rejoicing in hope. So love rejoices in hope. Are you confident in God's power, plan, and promises? Are you confident in those things? You don't waver in them at all? In Romans 15:13, we read this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's our confident builder right there. Okay, that's the way our Heavenly Father loves us. So it should build our confidence. So the second part of that, back to our text here in 12, love perseveres in tribulation. You know, we read that about Paul when we first started, how love developed his character and his integrity. We saw that, and how it continued. It continues throughout this entire epistles. When you read them, you'll see it each and every time when you read them. So love perseveres in tribulations.